Paul talked about throwing off heavy load, something that hinders. Matter of fact, he said, let us throw off everything that hinders. Now we've switched from the physical to the spiritual. Let's read it from the Living Translation. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Anybody ever had a sin like that? Three of us? I see some more waving now. How many here has never had a sin like that? That's more like it. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Holy Spirit, come. Touch our hearts. Open our minds. Give us determination today. Touch these feeble lips of clay to minister your word. We sure need your touch. Indelibly imprint this word in our hearts. Amen. How many has ever watched the Olympics? Those guys and girls, men and women, they just jumped out of bed one day and could run like that. They just jumped in the pond one day and could swim like that. Huh? How long did it take them to perfect the ability? Years. Many of them, I understand, practice 7-8 hours a day. Day after day after day after day. And guess what? It's all over in a matter of minutes. Why do they do that? Just so they can know they're the fastest person in the world. Or they're the best at whatever they do. And to get a little gold. Now how many of you, if your boss said, if you'll work for me 9 hours a day, 6-7 days a week, for 15 years, I'll give you a little gold plaque at the end of it. Nah. You'd turn them down, wouldn't you? Well, I'd make more money than that working 40 hours a week for my $15, $20, what is it now? Going $25, $30, $30, anybody have any way you want to? These people do it to obtain a material prize, to know that they're the fastest. You and I, Paul says, are in a race. We are striving that we might win the race, not for a material piece of gold, not to know we're the fastest or the best Christian in the world or the most holy, but to obtain the prize of eternal life. Amen? Amen. The Bible teaches us that we must be prepared here to examine and discipline our lives appropriately if we are to be a disciple of Christ. I'm telling you that this scripture is saying there's more to salvation than a momentary experience at the altar. There's more than just saying a prayer and now I'm forgiven. There is a life of discipline to be lived. There is a striving that has to go forth. And this is why Paul said here in this scripture, we need to strip off every weight that would slow us down, and we need to lay aside the sin that trips us up. That takes some real determination. That takes some Olympic struggles to be able to obtain that situation. Paul, first of all, says here something very interesting. He says, we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. I'm persuaded to believe that who he's talking about here is the ones that were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Remember the heroes of faith? There's a whole group of them there that are mentioned. There's Abel, there's Enoch, there's Noah, there's Abraham, there's Sarah, there's Isaac, there's Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and even Rahab, the prostitute, is listed in that group of heroes of faith. How in the world did she get in there? She had faith. She believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his ability. And guess what? She was a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. How about that? These people, the terminology that is used here, they are witnesses, is not like they're on the grandstand cheering us on. It is more, they are examples to us as to how to run the race. They are examples to us as to how to finish the race. They are examples of great faith in God. That man Abel, you know, he was the first martyr in the Bible. He was a righteous man. The Bible says in him he was a righteous man. And that he believed God. You can go to the Hebrews and it testifies of him how he believed in God and how he pleased God with his sacrifice. And one other thing that lets us know how great Abel was, look at his brother that he had to put up with. His brother was rambunctious farmer. And he thought, well, I can bring God any kind of a sacrifice I please and bring it and lay it down before God. And, you know, he was, he just didn't please the Lord in his ways. And he was quick-tempered and angry. And, you know, he He was having real troubles and struggles in life, but Abel was still in the face of his brother, able to stand for what's true, stand for what's right. He had faith in God and brought the right kind of a sacrifice, and God was pleased with it. Cost him his life. Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. He's the man who did not die. He's still living in heaven. He just went up. How'd you like to be walking along with Liz one day, Brother Eric, and you're taking a walk down Pennersville Road and you turn around and she's gone?
I wouldn't like that.
You wouldn't like that?
Good for her, bad for me,
yeah. Walk with God because he pleased God. He had that testimony. He had faith in God. He was living in the antediluvian period. That was that period in which men were more wicked in their hearts, so wicked in their hearts until their thoughts were continuously wicked. And God closed out the antediluvian period by sending a flood on the earth and slaying every single person on the earth, including the babies and the children, because they were tainted with the blood of angels who had cohabitated with the daughters of man and produced giants in the land. Satan trying to corrupt the Adamic seed who would bruise the head of the serpent. Enoch believed God and he served God. He walked with God and he was taken up because of his faith in God. So he's an example to us. Noah, a righteous man who took 120 years to build a boat. And during the whole time he was preaching the word of God, he was telling them, God has spoken to me that he's going to send a flood on this earth. You could imagine that maybe after 10 years and no converts, nobody saying, well, I'll get in, I'll come on board your boat, Noah. None. 120 years, and yet the last day before the rain came and he entered into the boat, guess what? He believed in God just as strong that day as the day when he started building the boat.
Yeah.
He's an example for us. There's Abraham, a man who was 100 years old and still believed God to give him a child. And amen, he received it by his wife of 90 years of age. Ladies, just because you're old doesn't mean you're finished. God is able. So we have all of these examples given to us in the heroes of faith, both the Old and the New Testament, sharing with us the great examples of men and women who have served God. The meaning is witnesses is examples. They are not the spectators of us. Rather, they are the examples put before us. And we are to look to them as they cheer us on by their example. This is how you do it. This is how you live for God. This is how you live for Jesus. This is meant to be an encouragement to us. They are our examples to help us to walk the line for the Lord. We are literally surrounded by these examples there. Read the Bible. You'll see them one after another. Peter, James, John, all of the New Testament writers live for God. The Apostle Paul himself. And they're all there to encourage us in living our life for the Lord and getting rid of the hindrances in our lives. Notice what Paul says here. Not only do we have examples to look at, to cheer us on, to help us to live the right kind of life and example, but he says here, notice that all of these had to throw away their excesses. They had to get rid. That meant they needed self-discipline. They needed self-discipline that had to be fervent. It couldn't be just, oh yeah, I'll serve God. We'll get along. I'll sit back in my easy chair and we'll just slide right on in. No, that's not the kind. It's the kind of fervency of that Olympian who day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, continues to train, continues to push until they become the very best that they can be. And so it is for the child of God. We must fervently discipline our lives and ourselves that we will grab a hold of the great and glorious goal at the end of the way, eternal life. Throw off everything, Paul says, that hinders. The idea here is to encourage us who wish to win the race to get rid of those things that will slow us down or prevent us from competing seriously. Every one of us are tempted. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us are tempted. Maybe by different things. Brother Bill may be tempted by $100 bills. I don't know. I don't know what you're tempted by. Maybe it's more chicken legs. Maybe it's mashed potatoes. Maybe it's hot dogs at AC&T. I tell you what, you get one of those boys, you put mustard in the bottom of the bun, you lay that hot dog that's been rolled on that roller, and you put ketchup on both sides of it, then put onions on top of it, and run that hot melted cheese down over it. I'm telling you what. Makes you want to go back for another one. I have a certain somebody that tells me, you stay away from that. Go home. Go home and get something good to eat. That is good. What are you talking about? But you know what temptation you have? What is it that they said? That pretty woman that walking down the street? Pretty woman walking down the street. I think I heard that theme song someplace. What is your... Is it anger? Is it talking about somebody else? Gossiping? Backbiting? What is it? Your temptation. Paul is saying we have to take it and lay it aside. Because it's going to hinder us from winning the race. This is serious business. The word here, throw off, implies in the original Greek the throw off excess body bulk. It may also refer to heavy garments one wears. You want to be able to run this race. You're able to run without anything hindering you, anything slowing you down, or keeping you from reaching the finish line. I was running the 110 one day in high school. I was way out ahead. I was fast. I was coming in first. And about 20 feet from the finish line, everything went black. Boom. I took a roll. Down I went. Rolled one time back up on my feet. Everything was clear and I was headed out again. But in that time, another guy went by me. And I lost the race. So we got to get rid of everything that would hinder us from reaching the finish line. Whatever your think about it right now. Whatever your hindrance is in life, whatever it is that's keeping you from the full extent of God's blessing and glory in your heart and soul, I want you to consider it right now. Paul is saying, you've got to put it aside. Preacher, do you know how hard that is? Yes, I do. Do you know how hard it is to stop running my mouth? Do you know how hard it is not to pick up that cigarette? Do you know how hard it is not to tip that bottle? Do you know how hard it is not to get that sixth chicken leg? I don't know about the others, but I know about the chicken leg. Amen. It's not easy. Nobody said it would be easy. But he says you've got to do it. You have to discipline yourself fervently to be able to do it. Some fellow bought him a trampoline. Spent a fortune. That wasn't good enough. He bought a stationary bike. He's going to lose weight. He bought a rowing machine on top of it. I mean, he was down to business, complete with all the gadgets. You know, it would read his pulse. It would prove the progress of his results. And it would even show him how many miles he had even charted on his machine. The only thing they left off was the gadget to get him started. Encouragement. I'm encouraging you today. Whatever it is that bugs you, that's eating at you, that is keeping you from Christ and the fullness of His power and blessings in your life, I'm telling you today, mark the day. Now is the time to get rid of it. And Paul goes on to say, the sin that so easily entangles us. Here is the sin of no discipline, or any sins that would prevent us from running or weigh us down. Sin strikes our lives. You don't have to raise your hand. I know the answer. How many of us have sinned since we initially got saved? More than once. Maybe at least three times. And we had to go back to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. Without discipline, there can be no success in this race. There has to be a world champion. There has yet to be a world champion at the Olympics who never practiced. And I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, those that enter in are going to be those individuals who have disciplined their lives to serve the Lord. We can't be coming to God. And you know, you get all these jokes about the pearly gates. You come up to the pearly gates and Paul's there. And what do you have? Paul said, well, you're bringing to heaven. And one fellow's bringing a whole bunch of gold bricks that he had in his safe. And Paul said, we don't need that up here. We use that for paving material. That was his most precious item. But it was going to keep him out of heaven. What is it that would keep us from heaven, from being the right with the Lord? If you were going to live with Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, what kind of behavior would you have?
I was going down the streets of Hagerstown some years ago, and there was a gentleman came here to church. He doesn't come anymore. They moved away, way down south. You don't know who they were. I was going down the street past the ball yard. Little League with playing ball. And I saw him standing there next to the fence, and I pulled over and got out of my car, and he happened to look up, and when he did, there was a great big... He saw me and zoom, he hid for the bathroom. And when he came out, his cheek was empty. Linda had an uncle that was chewing a cud. He was on the roof working. And the pastor pulled in and he didn't have time to spit it out. She was watching. He swallowed it. He got his just due. He got as sick as a dog. So whatever it is that we have to get rid of, we need to get rid of it as if we were living with Jesus 24/7. So if it's temper, if it's anger, whatever it is that is our weight that hinders us from serving the Lord, then we need to get rid of it so we can live with Jesus 24/7 and never feel any glint of guilt. Amen?
Amen.
Last of all here, this message this morning. Now, you see, it took, 20 minutes to get a slide going. So I get to preach the 20 minutes extra over. Paul said, to be successful in this race, besides getting rid of the excess weight, we need to learn to focus on the right thing. What is the right thing? He says here, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes. That's where our focus. Good runners never look around them while they're running. That distracts them. They have to set their attention ahead. I've got a finish line, and that's where I'm looking, and that's where I'm headed, and I'm not going to be looking to see who's close by. Did you see that fellow the other day? He was running this race. I don't know what kind of a race it was, but anyhow, he was almost to the finish line, and he thought, boy, I've got this one, and he started to celebrate. And in the meantime, while he was celebrating, another fellow passed him. I said, good for you. That'll teach you a lesson. Why? Because he got his eyes focused on, woo, I've made it, I did it. Rather than on keeping it on the finish line. Too often we get distracted. Well, did you see what Sister So-and-so had on? I wouldn't wear that to church. Huh?
You shouldn't wear what she had on.
I'm done. You're right, Bill. And the day you see me with what she has on, we're finished. I don't know where that came from. But... Well, brother so-and-so didn't even shake my hand today. I'm not going back there. People don't like me. Hello? Do you see what the preacher had on today? That weird tie that he bought in Bolivia. Gaudy. I'm not going back there. Well, they didn't sing my song today, so I'm done. Where do we have our attention? How many remember Jimmy Swaggart? Good man. I believe he's serving God with everything, but he made a mistake. He sinned. He was a human being. Got his eyes on the Roman, got his eyes off the finish line. And because of what he did, I know people who nearly lost their salvation because of what happened. I know people that were tied up in PTL. They had put thousands of dollars into it. Bought all kinds of things. They gave me one of those weeks down there at PTL. But when Tammy and what's his name? Jim messed up. People fell by the wayside. They lost their faith. They lost their trust in God. Where is our focus? I'm not going to look to the right or left. I'm going to look to Jesus Christ. He is the focus. Keeping your eyes upon Christ. That's the focus. Jesus becomes the perfect example for us to follow. He followed the course with joy, even though it included pain and suffering. Yet his attention was on our salvation. And aren't you glad he finished the race?
Amen.
We are to consider the rewards that so far outstrip the sacrifices. I know it's not easy to put aside some of the weights that some of us have. I know it's a tough thing to do at times. Not everybody is saved and delivered like Brother Eric Peel. God just took all the cussing away and all of the drugs away and all of the alcohol away. It was gone when he got up from the altar. It was gone. Not everybody is that fortunate. God wants some of us to fight. The Lord knew Brother Peel was going to have some other battles. He had to go home and face Liz, who loved him to death. Amen. So God knows our needs, and He knows what we need to focus. Jesus, I want You more than I want to be angry. I want You more than I want to talk about somebody. I want You more than surfeiting or overeating. I want You more than anything else in this world. Jesus, whatever it takes, I'm willing to set aside everything. I've got my eyes fixed on You. Are you there? Are you there? Is that where you want to be? How many are willing to make a commitment this morning? I don't care what it takes. I had a lady in my church, she just died not too long ago, down on the Eastern Shore. Her husband backslid. Got away from God. He'd come home drinking. He'd take his arm and just wipe everything off the table. Supper she had fixed. Never knowing what time he'd get home. But she'd try to have it ready. And he'd take his arm and just wipe it off. More than once, she was on her knees cleaning up the mess. And he pulled out a revolver and loaded it. Pulled the hammer back and put it down to her head. You know what she looked up and said? If that's what it takes, I'm ready to meet Jesus. I'm ready to meet the Lord. Let me ask you, are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you willing to set aside anything? It doesn't matter who it is, what it's about. Whatever it is that is hindering you from walking in the footsteps of Jesus to obtain eternal life, this morning, right now, July the 5th, 2015, at 20 minutes after 12, you need to be willing to say, Lord, I'll lay this down. I might have to struggle. I might have to fight. It's going to cause me some discipline. I'm going to have to bite my tongue. I'm going to have to say no over and over and over again, just like you did in the wilderness when you said, Satan, get behind me. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to ask you for the power and the grace to keep on serving you. But I'm determined, Jesus, to keep my eyes on you and make heaven my home. If that's your destination, stand to your feet.
Amen.
This morning.
Amen. Praise God.
I don't care what it costs. I'm looking to Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm going to finish the race without any weights holding me back. Now, between you and the Lord, I can't come to your house and take everything out that shouldn't be there. I'm not going to be around the next time somebody cuts you off in traffic and you want to yell at them. Guess who's going to be there? You are. Guess who's going to have to keep their mouth shut? You are. You see, we have to discipline our bodies. Bring it under subjection. So if we have wandering eyes, guess who's going to have to make them stay put? You are. Because you're focused on Christ, not on other things in your life. Lord, you know every heart. You know everybody in here. You know intimately everything about us. Every person standing here. You know every, you know their thoughts. You know the intents of their heart. You know, Lord, everything that goes on in their life. You see it all. There's nothing hidden from you. And now, Lord, they're standing to the feet as a witness this morning that they have made a determination. They're going to focus on you and they're going to lay aside every sin and every weight that would keep them from eternal life, and they're going to serve you and you only. Now, Lord, send the Holy Spirit to help them, strengthen them, encourage them, give them what it takes to discipline, just like that Olympian who disciplined their life to win a prize. Help us discipline our lives to win eternal life. In Jesus' name.
Amen.